Hi, everybody. Welcome. I just wanted to add my word, but I especially wanted to jump in and before Clay Scroggins comes to continue our Judges series on Samson, I wanted to give you a little update on the Hill Country because many of you have been writing in, what are we going to do? So let me tell you two or three things. First, let me tell you what we have done. Thanks to your generosity that comes in faithfully, we always have some margin. We acted swiftly and sent $20,000 last week to the Kerr County Relief Fund, which some of our, so praise the Lord. Thank you for your generosity. Several of my pastor friends and all said, yes, this is a good, trustworthy source. They're going to need a lot more than that. So that leads to sort of a second thing, because others of you have said, well, I want to give two above and beyond. Should we just do it through the church? In this instance, I'm going to say no. And here's why. There's just so many streams, no pun intended, that are needed in the Hill Country right now. I'm thinking of some of you have connections to Camp Mystic or to Heart of the Hills Camp, and both have lost their directors, and I suppose they have millions of dollars of work that's going to happen. So I would say give to them. They have needs. You do that if God tells you to do that. Others of you are even involved with TechSAR, the relief agency that goes out. Give to them if you feel so led. You say, well, I don't know anybody in the Hill Country. So if you'll grab the QR code that's on the screen right now, that will take you straight to the Kerr County Relief Fund. And you can just do what God tells you to do. You be generous as you always are, and you just do what he tells you to do. Last thing I wanted to say, also on this QR code, you'll see a link that says serving, because many of you have said, I want to like go and help and use my chainsaw and all that stuff. Here's what we're understanding is they're saying, please don't just come right now because it's just too chaotic. So we're not going to do that. But what we do want to do right now is just build a list of people who would be like, I want to be on the ready when you're putting teams together and we do have instructions. Call me so that I can be on one of the trucks that goes over. So you can sign up there and then that way we can have access to you quickly. They're going to need help for months and months, obviously, including our prayers. Let's just pray once more for them. Lord, I was thinking even this morning about that verse in Romans 8 that says sometimes when we don't even know what to pray, that your Holy Spirit just intercedes for us with groans and utterances. And that's really kind of how this one feels and has been feeling for many of us. It's just, I don't even know what to pray for. There's just so many things and so much pain and sadness and loss and parents and other relatives and survivors, and it just goes on and on, not to mention the needs, the physical needs and the restoration needs that are going to come. Lord, we're just calling out because you alone can bring supernatural power. You can bring comfort. You can bring healing. You can bring hope. We're asking, God, that you would bring all of these things, that you would supply people immeasurably more than they could ever ask or imagine in the way of grace, because they need it. We need it, even those of us who are several steps removed from it. And if we're grieving, how much more the people who are the closest in. So, God, we're just asking that you will come and that you will work. And we're praying all of these things in confidence and in faith, and in the name of our strong Savior, Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, let's welcome Clay Scroggins as he comes back to preach to us. Thank you.
I resonate so deeply with what Ken just prayed, just that sometimes we don't even know what to pray. And in those moments, it's always worthwhile to just pray the virtues of God: mercy, grace, compassion, justice, kindness. And my wife and I are certainly, we have been so heavy-hearted about specifically Camp Mystic and just that situation. It's just absolutely tragic. But I love the fact that we're a church that doesn't just say, hey, we're going to pray for you, which is amazing, but also being a church that is saying, hey, we're going to give and we're going to go. Remarkable history and legacy of that. So if you're new here today and you don't know anything about Faith Bridge and you're just kind of kicking the tires, checking it out, this is an incredible church. And I think you would do yourself well to make this church your church. That really is our hope, that this would become your church, as so many people have found the blessing of that as well. Today's been absolutely incredible. Do you feel grateful that you came to church today? I certainly do. I have just been so blessed by today. The music today is amazing. Getting to hear the stories, getting to hear what people are doing, getting to hear all God is doing through FSM, student ministry here at Faith Bridge, just remarkable. And as Ken mentioned, we're jumping back into this series on Judges, conquering dysfunction. There's a lot happening in Judges, but dysfunction is the primary thing that's happening in Judges. It really is such a great example. Judges is this book where the nation of Israel does not have a king. God says, I want to be your king. And so they're ruled by just the strongest person or the most strategic person or a person that rises up as a judge. And there are a few judges that are really remarkable, and there are a few judges that are just utter disasters. And Samson is one of those. If you grew up in the church, you probably have heard about Samson. When you think about Samson, what do you think about? Hair. What else? Strength. Yeah. Samson had great hair. Samson had great strength. And Samson had just terrible decisions that he made over and over and over again. And a couple weeks ago, Duffy talked about some of those. Last week, Adam talked about some of those. And today we're going to watch those culminate in Judges chapter 16. So if you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you a Bible. This is one of the blessings of being a church. These ushers are walking down the aisle right now, and they would love nothing more than to hand you a Bible. So just wave your hand up in the air, wave it around like you would like a Bible. Slightly different than what we may have heard in the past. All right, have you ever met someone who had all the talent in the world but just couldn't get out of their own way? Yeah, right? All of us have. In fact, I feel like most media platforms right now, whether it's Prime, Netflix, Apple, whatever, they're making loads of documentaries, some of them fantastic, about people who are just, they just create destruction because you can be strong in your gifts and weak in your character. And when you are, it just creates not only dysfunction, but it creates disaster, honestly. Right? I don't know what your favorite documentary is that explains this, but if you haven't seen the story of Elizabeth Holmes, she's a great example of this. Brilliant, brilliant person, but created a lot of devastation. If you've seen the Fyre Festival documentary, Billy McFarlane, great example of this. That's a remarkable story of somebody who had so much charisma, so much talent. He actually went to prison because he frauded people out of almost $30 million because of this festival that he put on. You may have heard of the Liver King. One of the latest ones to have done this. In fact, when I was thinking about the Liver King, I thought that might actually be what Samson looked like. I mean, just really strong guy, right? But another example of someone that had a lot of talent, a lot of strengths, but did not have the character to match it. And that's really dangerous. But today we're not talking about, is the next outlandish documentary here at Faith Bridge today? That's not what we're talking about. No, today we're going to ask God, help us to learn from these cautionary tales. There's a couple ways to learn in life. You can experience it for yourself, or you can watch someone else experience and go, I'm going to try the other way, right? And that's what today's about, is God, would you help us to evaluate, investigate, interrogate? Would you allow us to be introspective about what's in our life? So let me just ask you, where in your life are you relying on your strengths instead of surrendering to God? Where in your life do you find yourself going, I'm depending too much on my strength, and that strength, though it is a gift, though it is a talent, though it can lead to many great things, it can also lead to destruction, not just for yourself, but for other people. So if you want to know who today is for, I've really boiled it down to three categories of people. And at different times in my life, I could find myself in each of these categories. But I want to talk to some of you who would say, hey, my life's been a success. I've got some things going for me. I've done some things. Maybe you've experienced success professionally. Maybe you've experienced some success in your career, or maybe with your family, or maybe in your personal life. People rely on you. Outwardly, you've got it together. But internally, you would say, yeah, I just feel like I'm crumbling. I just feel like a fraud. I feel like an imposter. I feel like I don't really have it all together. I believe today is for you. Others of you would say, you know what? Success or failure aside, I just find myself flirting with disaster. Maybe you're flirting with temptation and you kind of know it. And you think, I can handle it. I can handle the consequences. If they were to come my way, if I were to get caught, if something were to happen, I'd be able to handle it. Today's for you. And then there's a third category of people. I would imagine there's some of us in the room who could say, hey, there are times in my life where the failure of my past overshadows even today. It overshadows the way I feel today. It casts this shadow of negativity where I go, I can't imagine God could still have anything for me. Maybe it was a failed marriage or a failed business, or maybe there's some challenges in your personal life or professional life, and you just think, I don't see how God could still do something with this wreck of a life. Well, today is for you. Because as we're going to see with Samson, it does end in disaster, but it does end with God still using him. God still accomplishes his purpose. He still brings good to people, even through the destructive decisions in Samson's life, because that is who God is. So if you wouldn't mind turning your Bible to Judges chapter 16. Adam left us off at the end of 15. We're going to pick up in Judges chapter 16, verse 4. We're going to cover a good bit of ground. And so if it feels like I'm going fast through the scripture, it's only because my grandmother always told me, remember, no one ever hates a short sermon, which is very true. I salute you, grandmother. You are absolutely right. I don't know that this will be short, but I'm going to try to make it. I'm trying to make sure it's not long. All right, here is how it goes. Verse 4, sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. But just for the sake of, just maybe it's just for me, but can we say Delilah's name the way you may have heard it on the radio? Delilah, right? I don't know why. Whenever I read her name, that little jingle just happens in my head. That's the way I say it. Anyway, nonetheless, he meets this woman. Her name is Delilah. And the rulers of the Philistines, they went to her and they said, hey, Delilah, we hear that you are in a relationship with Samson. He's strong. He's powerful. We don't know how to take him down. See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. Are you game? And she said, sure. So Delilah said to Samson, Samson, tell me of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. And Samson said, oh, boo, for you, anything. You're my girl. Of course I'm going to tell you. And so he tells her. He says, if anybody ties me up with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I will become as weak as any other man. He's just messing with her. He's just toying with her. Again, you see, Samson is filled with such great ego. But in the end, he cannot handle the consequences of his bad decisions. The rulers of the Philistines, they brought her. They said, all right, Delilah, this is what you need. We got you. So they bring her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him up with them. And with men hidden in the room, she called on Samson. Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But he snapped the bowstrings as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame, so the secret of his strength was not discovered. Delilah goes to Samson and she says, Samson, you made a fool out of me. You lied to me. Now come now, tell me how you can be tied. And he says, all right, girl, for you, anything. He says, if anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man. Again, he's toying with her. Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them, and then there were men hidden in the room, the same song and dance. She calls to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah says to Samson, yet again, all this time you've been making a fool out of me and you've been lying to me. Now tell me how you can be tied. And a third time he replies and says, well, if you weave the seven braids of my head into the fabric of the loom, and if you put a pin, tighten it with a pin, I'll become as weak as any other man. Again, you can see how she's getting to him, right? He starts with string, ropes, and moves eventually to his hair. So while he was sleeping, Delilah does just that. She took the seven braids of his head and she wove them into the fabric, and then she tightened it with the pin. And again, she called out, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and he pulled the pin and the loom with the fabric. And then she said to him, how can you say, I love you, when you won't confide in me? This is what temptation does it not? She's gaslighting him. This is what temptation does. Temptation looks at you and says, who do you think you are? Are you not? I thought you said you were a Christian. Are you not going to be faithful? Are you not going to be honest? Come on. This is what it does. And our brains, right? Our brains have these neurological pathways that we carve out where we go back to the same things over and over again. And for him, it was the adoration of women. For him, he loved the idea of somebody wanting him. He couldn't resist it. And so when Delilah says, Samson, this is the third time that you've made a fool out of me. Don't do it again. Why haven't you told me the secret of your great strength? Look at verse 16. How powerful is this statement by the author? With such, what's the word? Nagging. She prodded him day after day. Were you just elbowing your husband about this? That was amazing. Thank you for doing that. Maybe he was elbowing you. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day. And I like what just happened there. Until he was so sick to death of it. He couldn't cope anymore. He couldn't find a way out anymore. And so finally he just tells her. He tells her the secret. He says, no razor has ever touched my head. He said, I took this vow. Adam talked about the vow last week in his sermon, this Nazaritic vow that he took, where he said, there's three things I'm never going to do. I'm never going to drink alcohol. I'm never going to touch dead bodies. He did both of those all the time. But he was faithful to this one vow. The third aspect of the Nazarite vow is that he would never cut his hair. And the long hair was meant to be a statement, was meant to be a testament that, hey, I am faithful to the one true God. And he is faithful to me. And though Samson was not faithful to God, God had been faithful to Samson. He said, no razor's ever touched my hair. I took this vow. I dedicated myself to God. In fact, even it wasn't just me. Even while I was in my mother's womb, I was dedicated to God. And if my head were shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines and she said, hey, this is for real. Come back once more. He's told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistine, they return with the silver in their hands. And after putting Samson to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to come and shave off his seven braids of his hair. And she began to subdue him. And his strength left. But look at what he does. Look at how cocky he is. Look at how confident, look at how arrogant he is. She called him once more, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he woke from his sleep and he thought, I'll go out as before and I'll shake myself free. His strength that God had given him, that was his greatest asset, became his weakness. Sound familiar? The very thing that God gave him to be used for good. Last week, Adam said that we are set apart by God, for God, to bring flourishing to others. That is why you've been given the strength that you've been given. But he was using it for himself, and then he started to take credit for it. He knew, he said it. As soon as I shave my head, I won't have any strength. But as soon as the temptation came, as soon as the moment rose, he goes, oh, I'll be fine. I'll handle this. I'll do it just like before. I'll go right out there, and I'm strong. I can handle it. I'll shake it off. Shake, shake, shake it off, and I'll be fine, right? But this time, he wasn't. He did not know. Look at that phrase. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. How tragic. He didn't realize that the strength that God had given him was gone. He began to rely on it, take credit for it, think that it was his own doing. Listen, you're smart. You're strong. You've got some ability. But as soon as we start to claim that ability, not just for ourselves, but claim that that ability is from me, that strength becomes a weakness. It's the very thing that gets us in trouble. That's why God is giving us an invitation today to say, do not think more highly of yourselves than you ought. Romans 12. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. No, be careful. Think about yourself with, Paul says, with sober judgment. Don't get drunk on yourself. Don't get intoxicated with yourself. Think about yourself with some sobriety. Be willing to recognize that God, the strength that I have, it comes from you. You're the one who gave it to me. How dare I think that I've got this strength and it's from me for me? No, the strength has been given by you to me to be used for the sake of others and not for myself. And as soon as that strength starts blowing up my ego, it becomes a weakness. You've seen it. But the question is, where is this happening in us, right? Then the Philistines, they seized him. They gouged out his eyes. They took him down to Gaza, binding him up with bronze shackles. They set him to grinding grain in the prison. But look at this last verse we're going to look at. This isn't the end of chapter 16, but this is where we're going to stop. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. How kind is God? How kind is God to say, Samson, you have been unfaithful, but I am still going to be faithful to you. I hope that somebody today that needs to hear that is hearing that. That even though failure is overshadowing your moment today, that there is hope that God will still use you, that God still will bring his purposes to fruition, that the partnership that you can have with God is still available. It doesn't mean that the consequences of our decisions go away. No, he still had to deal with the consequences, right? And you can read the way Samson's story ends. It ends in tragedy. But God uses him. God still uses him. His hair does grow back and he regains his strength. And they put him between these two pillars inside of their pagan temple. And they all come inside to watch what's going to happen. And he pushes the pillars aside, crumbling the building, killing many, many Philistines. And God saves his people through Samson. But his strength became his kryptonite. His strength led to his downfall. God gave him the strength. Imagine all the good he could have done with it. What about you? What about me? What is the talent that God has given you? What is the gift that God has given you? That talent may open doors, but it is only through character that those doors stay open. This is such a cautionary tale for us, such a moment in time for us to go, wake up. What is happening on the inside of your life? Where are you flirting with disaster? Where are you messing with temptation, thinking, I'll be able to handle it. I've handled it before. I'll handle it again. It doesn't have to be that way. You can stop where you are right now and say, God, I'm submitting to you. God, I'm surrendering to you. God, this strength that you've given to me is not given to me for just my good. But you've given me this. You've set me apart so that I might bring flourishing to others. I'm going to give you just a couple of ways to think about this. The first thing is I do want you to take an inventory of your strengths. And if you need some help of others to do this, great. Ask some people around you, some people that know you well, maybe some people in your family, some people in your group. Ask them, hey, where has God gifted me? Do you know? It's important to know. Where has God gifted you? He's given you some strengths. But if you don't know what they are, you won't be able to pay attention to when you start using them for yourselves or even start taking credit for them, right? This is why self-awareness is so powerful. Self-awareness is the foundation upon which every virtue rests. You cannot have virtue without having self-awareness. Do you know what your superpowers are? Do you know the thing that you're really good at? Take an inventory of your strengths. Number two, identify your weak spots. Pay attention to where you're weak. What are those neurological pathways that you go to cope when things don't go your way? Where are you most tempted to live impulsively? Pay attention to those. Take an inventory of them. And then number three, would you be willing to take on this habit, to take on this practice? Following Jesus demands daily habits. If not this prayer, you might want to write your own, but would you be willing to surrender on a daily basis? Imagine if Samson would have strategically, thoughtfully, meaningfully surrendered on a daily basis. This is not mine, this is yours. This is not mine, this is yours. God, keep me safe, keep me secure, and keep me surrendered. This is yours. God, what do you want? What do you want me to do with what you've given me? What do you want me to do with what you've given me? And then number four, would you be willing to trust God to redeem the broken strength? God wants to redeem your failures. Even Samson, he got to experience this. The hair began to grow back. Would you be willing to accept the forgiveness, the grace of God? Would you be willing to accept his redemption? Do you know what redemption is? It doesn't mean you want to go through the pain again, but it means that God can bring meaning out of the pain. It's one of the most beautiful things he does. You've got alcoholism in your background. You've got a failed marriage in your background. You've got brokenness in your past. God can birth something new even in the pain, even in the brokenness, if we would be willing to surrender it to him. Yeah, the story of Samson, it ends with an epic collapse. An actual building fell. But this is what's so beautiful about Jesus, is at the end of his story, it ends with an empty grave. Samson had all of this power, and he used it violently. Jesus had all this power, and he poured it out for others. Where Samson failed in strength, Jesus succeeded in weakness. This is that beautiful doxology in Philippians 2. If you haven't read this lately, I would encourage you this week, spend some time looking at Ephesians 2. this doxology that Paul wrote is so beautiful. And the essence of it is this, that the Almighty God crammed his divinity into a human body named Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And he had all the power in heaven and earth under his control, but he didn't use it as though it were something to be grasped or something to be leveraged. Instead, he poured all of his power out. Samson stacked up bodies, literally stacked up bodies. Jesus gave up his body for you and for me, to the point where he went to the cross. And today is a great day for anybody who's never put their faith in Jesus to say, he is the risen one. He is the true Messiah. He is the ruler and the king that Samson only dreamed to be. Jesus surrendered fully so we could have a full life. Would you be willing to surrender to him? He stands on business. The business of giving his life away. Which is why in Philippians 2, Paul says, and at the end of time, every single knee is going to bow and recognize his divinity, his dominion, his power, and his reign. And we don't have to wait until then. You can start today. Would you be willing to surrender to him? Would you be willing to put your faith in him? He is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our life. Because he came with all the strength, but he didn't use it for himself. So what about you? Is there an area of your life that needs to move from control to surrender this week? Where is it? What is the one area of your life that needs to move from, I'm controlling it, I've got it, I'm good, to God, you can have it, it's all yours. You set me apart for the sake of bringing good to others. And when I do that, I'm reflecting you because you did that for us. Would you pray with me? Father, I just ask you, in the name of Jesus, would you give us the courage? This sounds crazy to say. Would you give us the strength to surrender? It takes a strong person to lay their life down. But God, we are all better for it. So Father, give us the strength. God, grant us the strength to surrender. And when we can't, when we just don't know how, or we feel like, I don't know who's going to help me, who's going to take care of me, would you have mercy on us? Father, for the person today that's never put their faith in you, I pray that today would be that day. That they would trust you with their whole life, with their eternity, and even with their days here on this earth. God, there's nobody that's more trustworthy than you. So we give you our lives, we put our life in your hands. And we pray all this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.